yeah, so that this hog, we all went outside for a second because the hot inside of the house was so hot. And go outside to cool off.
Right.
So everybody's standing there drinking water, and then somebody's like, "Is that somebody's pet pig?" We look across the street, and there's a metal gate, and the hog's bashing on it, trying to get out. And so there's a lady across the street, and they're like, "Hey, there's a hog in your backyard." And she comes out and like puts her hand on her heart, and is like, "Oh my god!" So then Kyle goes and grabs his crossbow and hops in a kayak and goes across the street and shoots the thing. And it was right as we were fixing to leave.
What time were we firing the pit up?
Well, they were talking about it. They're like, "Nah, the thing fell in water."
Yeah,
like it's too nasty to try to. You saw those pictures. We got in on a monster truck, and then we got out. A big wheeled Jeep was pulling the boat because it was too shallow for the boats to go. Uh-huh. But we were using the boat to transport people, you know, on a trailer. So it was all time to leave, so we all hopped on the boat, and then they threw the hog on the front of the boat. We got out and just tossed it on the side of the street and let the cops deal with it.
It's been over a week since the rain stopped.
Yeah.
And there's still flooding out there.
Uh-huh. My sister's house is still underwater. Or, no, I think the water's out, but the neighborhood's still impassable.
Okay.
I still can't get in. But, hey, everybody, welcome to episode, I'm going to call it, 47 and a half. Let's call it episode 48. Let's just make this a regular one.
Yeah, we can.
This is a Hurricane Harvey aftermath retrospective discussion of a little bit of horror movie, not horror movie, disaster movies. And this was designed to be a meta. It's going to come out on a regular schedule. We actually recorded this episode. We sat down to record this episode at my friend Terrence and Kristen's house a few days ago.
And I had a couple of cocktails before.
And we had a couple drinks, and I didn't have the light on, so I didn't get to see that my recorder stopped recording about 30 seconds into the recording. So
it was for naught.
It was all for naught, and it was a great episode, and there was like, how many people did we have?
Five.
Yeah, we had five people on it, and not drinking beer tonight, but let's raise a glass to the lost episode. We're going to redo it real quick. So how many hurricanes you been through?
I've been through a lot. I've been through too many to count. The worst one besides this was probably Andrew back in when I was still living in Louisiana. Because there was no electricity for about 2 weeks. That was some pretty miserable conditions that we were living in afterwards. I actually went to stay with my mom after the hurricane for a while just to make sure she was okay. Lived off of generator and dry ice for a while.
Yeah, we've been quite fortunate for the most part. I mean, fortunate is a relative term whenever these things happen because, you know, we did get a little bit of water in our house and it wasn't tremendous, but it's been stressful as all hell.
Mm-hmm.
We live right under the Attucks Dam that they've been talking about possibly either breaching or overflowing, and you know, so the whole time it's like looking down the barrel of a gun.
Well, yeah, when those things breach, there's not much time to do anything.
Yeah, and raise stuff up and then put it down and then raise it up and put it down. And then, you know, I posted a thing on Facebook the other day that this thing should have been called Hurricane Columbo because it's just like one more thing, just one more thing. And the hurricane is gone. It is probably blowing some leaves off in Canada somewhere at the moment. But
we're still feeling the effects of it.
We are still feeling significant effects of it.
And things are still changing day to day.
Right. So we wanted to lighten the mood a little bit and just kind of, you know, BS about some disaster movies, you know. Just about any horror movie could technically be considered a disaster movie, but there was a time in the 90s. Well, there was a 70s series of disaster movies.
Yeah.
And then there was kind of a revamp of them in the 90s.
Supposedly, in the 90s, they were really special effects driven.
Right. So, unless you've got some new news, I don't have any old news. I didn't prepare.
Nothing too much except I did find out. I know I had mentioned the other day there were some rumors going around that it wasn't going to happen, but September 26th will be the one-night event for Jeepers Creepers 3 at select theaters. So make sure to check out and see if that's going to be coming to a theater near you. So that will be coming up shortly.
They mentioned that they were going to cancel it completely, but I guess they spent all the money, so they might as well get some of it back.
Well, yeah. So it'll probably be one night and then direct to DVD. So.
Cool. What else is going on? This day in history, I haven't even looked at the calendar.
No, well, no, we're going to talk a little bit about Toby also.
We lost Toby Hooper just right at the storm.
Yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the first one that did it for me and got me into horror, and you know, I got him to thank for it. So,
Poltergeist. I was obviously way too young to be watching Chainsaw Massacre, but Poltergeist was one of those.
Still makes me jump today, man.
Yeah, and it's fixing to come out, and everybody blames Stephen King on being scared of clowns, but you ought to blame Steven Spielberg and Toby Hooper because that's that clown in Poltergeist that jumps up and chokes him up, you know.
Gets like closer and closer to the bed, and it disappears.
No joking there, man. So what are some of your favorite disaster movies?
Special effects-driven movies. I have to say, even though the movie is just ridiculous, most disaster movies are ridiculous. They're overboard. They make you think that a tsunami is just, you know, think about it, Day After Tomorrow is what I'm thinking of.
Right.
That movie, the special effects were amazing, but it was the dumbest movie I've ever seen when it comes to disaster movies.
Right. Or just everything all at the same time.
Instantly freezes. You have just so much ridiculous stuff going on in that movie. I like Twister. Twister was cool because my boy Bill Paxton was in it.
Right. But
that's another one that was just kind of over the top.
Well, and a lot of times disaster movies, they'll give the disaster itself a personality.
Yeah.
And that's what's weird about it is, you know,
try to personify it.
Right. So like with Twister or whatever, you've got this giant tornado that's running through. I mean, they're no joke. They're mean as can be, but they're not specific.
Yeah, and the longevity isn't that long. They touch down, they disappear. They touch down again.
They run a few miles and then they're gone.
Right.
And those few miles is like, they say it's like a coming train. It's like barreling through real fast and then it's out.
Yeah.
So, the one that I think is funny, we talked about it, was it was Volcano.
Volcano, yeah.
Where the volcano is actually like...
Jason.
Yeah. And I'm sure it might have been a little bit of a tribute, but like where the girl and the guy, they're going to go skinny dipping, and she gets undressed and gets in the water, and he's drunk and like pulling his clothes off, and then the magma comes out from under and like boils her real quick.
And sounds like Jaws, don't
very it? Much like Jaws. You know? And oh, what's that one where the boat turns on it upside down? Not Neptune. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. Where the tsunami hits the boat and it turns upside down.
Damn it, I can't remember the name of the movie either.
Poseidon Adventure.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they had a remake of it not too long ago. Probably the most realistic disaster movie is going to be something like Titanic.
Yeah.
Where it's like they have actual science and they're like, this is how it happened, and they follow the pathway of stuff. But even then... You know, you have some smokestacks falling on some people, kind of specifically.
Well, you know, another one that was special effects driven, and it was interesting for a certain point, but being a old all-field hand was Armageddon. It was just ridiculous in the beginning when it came to his depiction of an oil rig and the things that go on an oil rig.
Right, where the oil splashes on them.
They tried to romanticize and make oil drilling exciting, which it's not very exciting at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but they were a crack team.
Yes, they were the best. He was the best driller in the world. Find like, oil for you.
It's like, yeah. It was like the A team of drilling oil. And,
Buscemi was on that team. Think about it for a
second. Yeah. He had all that debt from Vegas and stuff. Yeah. The sharks are getting smarter. I remember when I saw, we were talking about Deep Blue Sea. I had a little glitch in the recording. I remember I saw that in the theater and I was all excited because there had not been a really good, you know, like high budget
shark movie.
And the reality is, it's not it's not really hard to write a compelling shark story, because you have a giant torpedo with teeth that wants to eat you. So all you got to do is put people in proximity to a shark, and there you go.
It's Michael Myers in the water. It's real life, you
right?
Know it.
So with Deep Blue Sea, they like had to up the ante to make the shark smart, and it's like sharks swimming on through hallways and stuff.
My favorite part of that movie is Samuel L. Jackson giving that long ass speech, and you're thinking, "Fuck, Samuel Jackson's taking this movie over. He's gonna run with it," and then he dies.
Oh yeah, the shark just jumps out. And I liked at the end where, like, she's like, "You're my babies. I created you." And the shark just thinks about it for a second, and then bites her and shakes her up.
Look at the zombie effect on there. Look at the blood coming up from his shirt.
Nice.
I'm thinking about doing that this year for Halloween with my daughter. Just need a nice little reservoir. Just pump it. Set the blood squirt down on everybody.
For Halloween. For Halloween this year, we're going to be garden gnomes. And we always do a themed costume, and it works. My youngest daughter, she doesn't want to be a garden gnome. She wants to be a witch. And so we're like, okay, well, we'll put you in a gray garden gnome costume, and witches still have the pointy hat, and then we just won't tell you.
You're a witch, don't worry.
So back to disaster movies. I'm sitting here thinking of, like, like you said, Armageddon. Well, that was another one where, like, that asteroid was quite specific. It was like had like sniper style abilities to just, like, take out monuments from the space.
Yeah. Well, didn't we have one that just passed by pretty close to Earth recently, like, mm-hmm. last week, if I'm not mistaken?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a scary thought when you think about it. Well, you can't go anywhere.
That's what you killed the dinosaurs. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Speaking of dinosaurs, Jurassic Park.
Perfect other. Well, that was, you know, we talked about the other night. You know, we got this dam that's holding the water back from my house and from the, you know, basically the whole city of Houston. If that dam goes, we're talking probably 20 feet of water deep, moving probably 100 miles an hour towards the coast. Like, everybody's dead. There's no getting in your dinghy and floating it. You're going to die.
Right.
You got all these damn helicopters flying over the thing all day, you know, keeping an eye on it. And all I keep thinking is that scene in Jurassic World where the helicopter pilot, he, like, gets hit by something and he loses control and he crashes his helicopter into the aviary that has all the flying dinosaurs in it.
Right.
They were all contained.
Until
he screwed it up. So I'm like, guys, just don't fly too close to that thing. Don't. That would suck. But yeah, Jurassic Park is another one. It's just like, so many of the, well, asteroids and tornadoes, these are not made by humans.
I mean, you can't do anything.
But a lot of times, even in the, you know, like, zombie movies and stuff, the characterization, the story is in where human error, where we stop getting along and try to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jurassic Park was because he spared no expense on anything except for he hired one nerd to run the entire park, and that one nerd is the only one that knew how to do anything, and he was crooked.
Yeah, he was crooked, exactly.
So
he didn't do his background check very well on old Ned.
Exactly.
He just needed to watch one episode of Seinfeld and he would have knew what he was getting into.
Exactly. Just don't hire that guy. Well, he was bad in Toy Story 2 as well.
Yeah.
He's a good bad guy. That's something of a disaster movie. It's a major action movie. We downloaded it during the hurricane so my kids could watch it. And, like, my blood pressure's already up because we're worried about everything. And that thing, like, from about 10 minutes in till the end, it's just, like, constant running and constant stuff. It's, like, super action adventure. I'm like, dude.
Toy Story movies are fun.
My heart can't handle this kind of stress for these poor little toys. My daughter's like, I want to watch Toy Story 3. I'm like, no.
Not at this time.
No. I don't want to cry too much.
So what else we got? Let's see. Talked about Volcano already.
Well, there was Dante's Peak, which was bad, so I don't even think I ever watched it.
I haven't seen it either.
There's Deep Impact, which was the...
The other asteroid movie with Morgan Freeman.
Right.
He was the president. else yep. do we have?
The best thing we got out of Armageddon, because I didn't like Armageddon. I don't like Michael Bay anyway. Mm-hmm. He screwed up the Transformers franchise, and all he is explosions.
He's special effects driven. But
he is. When that movie came out, I was dating this girl, and she absolutely, for whatever reason, you know, some people just have to stick up their ass about something. She hated that song by Aerosmith that was on the radio like every 10 minutes. It bugged the living bejesus out of her. And at the time, I didn't care. Like, I never particularly cared for or against the song. But after she and I broke up, every time I hear that song, I just kind of giggle. Even now, I'm kind of like,
We actually got some Armageddon Hot Wheels sets over here. It was basically their asteroid rover, the little machine that they rode around on an asteroid with. And it comes with a little action figure and stuff. There's the Ben Affleck and the Bruce Willis.
Nice.
Yeah, that movie was pretty bad.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't. Maybe it was Michael Bay or Ben Affleck, one of the two. But somebody asked him, like, wouldn't it be easier to train astronauts to drill than to train drillers to be astronauts like that fast? And their response was like, "Fuck you." But it's still. I mean, that movie made no sense.
No, it didn't. And especially like I said, coming from the perspective of someone that actually worked with drilling rigs and everything, it was ridiculous. Because there's a lot involved with drilling an oil well, and there's a lot of control there of the well itself, and it's, yeah, they left a lot out. But they had to romanticize it for the movie, that's the thing.
Well, the reality was all they needed to do was drill pockets to drop bombs into.
Yeah.
They didn't need to actually explore for oil, so that made sense. But even then, you don't need your top-of-the-top, like, drillers to go in, because most of it would be math and exploratory and a whole lot of spreadsheets.
Right.
Versus the actual mechanics of bolting a drill press to the rock and sending a bolt down. You know, like, hey, you know, whatever floats your boat.
That's right.
Every now and then you'll hear the, I can stay awake just to hear you breathe it and giggle about it 20-something years later. So it wasn't a total loss.
Okay, what's some other ones that we had? I don't remember what all we talked about the other night.
We talked about quite a few.
Outbreak. Remember Outbreak?
Oh, yeah.
We talked about the viral meltdowns of society.
Right.
Outbreak, there was one called Epidemic also, which is very similar to the same
thing. Yeah, at the same time.
Uh-huh. They had a whole bunch of those movies coming out, too, at one time.
And I wonder what the deal was with they kept releasing the same type of movies. Because usually, if a studio gets wind that there's another movie, they'll finish making it and then they'll table it and either go to video with it or wait a year and whatever. But these guys are like right on each other's heels. Like, yeah, some of them are in the theater at the same time.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. Definitely oversaturating a certain subject matter. But that's how Hollywood is now. They have no new idea, so they piggyback off everybody else.
Well, you made that whole big list of stuff they were remaking, of stuff that doesn't need to be remade. And doesn't need to be remade, just like it's a perfect classic as it is. Right.
Holds up.
Right.
The movie still holds up to this day. There's no need to try to change it because you'll never meet that expectation.
Nope. You can make sequels, you can make alternate universes, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, it's not a disaster movie, but it is, it kind of brings to mind the way you act, you know, in disasters such as this is like Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, the way that I got in, I mean, I'm always prepared for hurricanes, right? But, you know, you get your extra water, you go ahead and start freezing up some water bottles to make sure that if your power goes out, your stuff stays cold.
Right.
You know, there's certain things you just do by virtue of being a human in the Houston area that is just common sense. Then there's also, you know, kind of like the prepper survivalist sort of lifestyle that, you know, a lot of people, and I've dabbled in that, but because almost specifically because of The Walking Dead. So The Walking Dead came out when my daughter was being born. My wife bought me the graphic novels to read in the hospital while
she was doing her thing.
So I read the first like 4 or 5 of them, and then we're home with the baby and stuff, and I watched the first episode of Walking Dead, and it was so good. and it followed the comics so precisely. I told my wife, like, look, for as long as the show's on, I'm going to be watching it, so you're going to have to go in the back room. She's like, well, I want to see. So she came and watched it with me. And after that first episode, we didn't live in the house we live in now, but our old house had a big, like, the front of the house had windows, and it was a giant, like, 4 by 7 foot bank of windows. So we're sitting there watching Walking Dead, and she looks out the window, and she looks, she goes, we wouldn't make it. Like, we couldn't board this place up. Like, we'd be done. You need to get some stuff. And she wasn't talking about in case of zombies, but in case of, like, riots, in case of looting, and you know, like, this stuff. Like, you need to...
A purge-type situation.
Figure out how do we can lock this place down on it, just in case. And so I started looking into it, and that's, you know, kind of where I got into it. You know, just basic, general, everyday survival, like having a document kit, you know, to, like, get copies of things like your birth certificates and your passports and stuff, and have them in a folder, either in a safe deposit box or at your mom's house or someplace that's high and dry outside of your storm area.
Right.
And it's not because of zombies, but you have to prepare for the stuff that is most likely going to happen. Right. So most likely is going to happen is something along the lines of you're going to lose your job, somebody's going to get sick, you're going to need, you know, bank account information or something like that. So just have that stuff handy and available. Your insurance, your, you know, medical data, anything like that. And you just kind of go from there. Because as the guy, you know, I listen to the survival podcast, like this dude points out, he's like, I've been in a fight twice in my life. I've had to eat every day, several times a day. So what's more important, bullets or food? So you start kind of getting yourself a backlog of food. He's like, but then don't, you know, then everybody goes, oh, well, just drop me a pallet of Mountain House. He's like, well, unless you're eating that stuff, he's like, you don't do that. Like, look, you know, how much do you have on hand? How long would that last? And then how long do you think you need to hold out in whatever situation?
Right.
Right? So you do it by your situation, where you live, what you eat. He's like, you know, it's almost comical to watch people at Walmart fighting over Spam whenever hurricanes come. You're like, do you eat Spam regularly? They've still got ham and cheese over here. Right? So, you know, we were set up pretty good for the storm.
Some people just don't think simple things like that. Like, everybody was running out of ice. People were freaking out because they couldn't find ice. And I told a friend of mine, I said, you know those 3 cases of water you bought? Take a 12-pack of the water and throw it in the freezer. You freeze those, you got ice, and you also have bottled water once it melts.
Right. Or they'll have a stack of stuff, and they'll have an empty fridge.
Yeah.
Well, fridges stay colder longer whenever they're full.
Yeah.
And so you put all of your bottled water into that fridge, and you pack it tight as you possibly can, and you close it, and then if you lose power... It stays cold and all your food's protected for at least a couple of days.
Yeah.
If you don't break that seal. we lost power and none of our food was compromised. We lost power. It was almost 2 days. And at some point my friend was like, hey, you know, Terrence was like, hey, we got a deep freeze over here that you can put stuff in. So I opened my freezer. It was all still solidly frozen.
Okay.
Dropped it all in the ice box and rolled it on out.
Right.
It was pretty crazy.
You know, another disaster. I don't know. Have you ever seen This Is the End?
Yes. But see, that's one you can't prepare for either.
But I love that movie.
Because that's the biblical apocalypse.
Yes.
So even those, you know, even though they were stove up in the house, when somebody went outside, they got eaten by
demons.
They
were gone, yeah. It was like the mist on steroids.
That was a great movie.
That was a great movie. James Franco's house was set up to be able to contain themselves for a while and keep everybody out. That was a really good movie. And when I went into it, I had no idea it was about the apocalypse. I did not know that was going to happen. I didn't know that Armageddon was coming.
It's funny because so many writers like to be subtle, okay? And subtlety is nice in certain narratives. But, like, This Is the End, they made it very clear.
Oh, yeah, when the rapture started,
like, that is the end of the world. We're going down, right?
You're stuck there. We're taking these folks.
Yeah. And So there was no... Of course, it was full-on comedy, and it's James Franco and Seth Rogen. And
Danny McBride.
You know, Danny McBride and all those guys. So there's no, like... It's full-on comedy, but the horror was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the scary parts were scary. Oh, yeah, scary.
The special effects were great. The demons were great.
When that demon popped into that house, my wife jumped, like, 3 feet out of her chair. We sat there laughing at the movie so hard. It was funny and scary at the same time. It was.
I wasn't expecting some of the stuff, and I took my son when he was, what, 14? To see it? Yeah, and when the demon walks into Jonah Hill's room... And the shadow show represents what he's about to do to him. I didn't know what to say. I wasn't expecting that to happen at all.
Well, the end, whenever the giant demons are walking the earth, and like, the giant dogs knocking buildings over.
But that was a great movie. That was. I loved it, man. I need to see it again. I haven't seen it in a while. But
yeah, I only ever saw it in the theater that one time. I would definitely want to see it again.
And we need to make sure we do our... Book of Revelations episode 2.
Absolutely. Talk
about that. Well, and I wrote that part of the Bible is some scary stuff. You know, all the fire and brimstone and end of the world, rival of the four horsemen. That's some scary stuff.
Well, I wrote a story for an anthology that actually is coming out. It's probably out now on Amazon. I got an email a day or two ago that said that they were waiting for it to be actually released, then I've been doing other things, but I wrote a story, and it was very much just, it's the end of the world, and the rapture, the apocalypse, the whole works, you know, it's just like a last man standing sort of thing, and it won the contest, not the whole contest, like, I came in like third or fourth or something, but,
right, but you
I got published, so that was cool, so I'll have that out, I'll have that link whenever that posts.
Cool.
So, but yeah, like, If it's going to be subtle, it can't be biblical, because it's written down pretty straightforward what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So whenever it's stuff like that, and it always bothers me, and we've talked about it before, and in horror movies, and especially whenever there's a religious overtone to it, where people will do things like, they'll watch The Rapture, for example. They're like, whoa, people are being cast, you know, drawn into the sky in blue light. And then they'll look and be like, ah, screw it. You know, what is this? what is that? That's all. You know, it's like, no, you'd watch a whole bunch of people falling to their knees immediately.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So they did it right in that movie.
Oh, yeah, they did. It was just in a convenience store. All of a sudden, people just started disappearing.
Yep.
You know, it was great the way they did it. And as soon as it started happening, I realized what was going on. I had no idea that was coming. And just to see all the Hollywood people just... being taken down in the hell, man. It was nuts. They riddled themselves so well with it. That was a damn good movie.
Was it Michael Cera that got pissed by the light and like torn in half?
Yeah. And Craig Robinson, he ended up saving himself. Mm-hmm. And the part where, what's that good looking actor's name? The one that they made a gimp out of. It was Danny McBride's gimp. What's his name? Channing Tatum, is that?
Yeah.
It?
Yeah. Yeah, Danny McBride turned out to be like the evilest of the evil.
Yeah. Just the biggest jerk, just taking advantage of everything.
Yo.
And how quickly it delved into a Road Warrior type situation, man.
That was a good movie.
That was a real good movie. I'm glad I remembered that when I thought about it. That's the only movie I can think of that ever deals with that part of the Book of Revelations.
In any sort of serious context, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, full on comedy, but they like. They did their homework and
the way it was supposed to go, the way it's written in the Bible is essentially what they went with.
Well, that's what's weird, because when I was doing research for the story, I was writing the whole it like this happens, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens. And so then you'll have stuff that obviously people didn't research because they're like, oh, well, you know, they'll get stuff out of order. And you're like, well, it's all you got to do is Google like events of Revelation. And
yeah,
there's timelines
there
for you.
Yeah.
So I just follow those timelines, and those timelines are supposedly long, but nobody really knows. So.
Yeah, it's all up to interpretation.
Right. Well, I'm talking about from one event to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Like it says, sometimes it seems as if event number one will be a catalyst to event number two, but there's no telling how long it is between the first and the second one.
Yeah.
So you can compress it, or you can draw it out however you want to do in your narrative. But it's all written out. It's all outlined.
Right.
You know, if you get it wrong, you're kind of dumb. Oof. I'll tell you what, guys. I have been helping my friend demo their house this morning. The water was dirty. I'm exhausted. Came over here to take a shower and burn some clothes and try to peel off this little meta episode here. We're hitting right at the 30-minute mark. We're probably going to drop this regular scheduling so it'll come out on a Monday. It'll be a short one. We're going to drop a whole bunch of donation links to for different charities and stuff that's going on. One of our vendors at our Halloween show, Stitch Smile Productions, is doing a compilation omnibus horror book that they're going to be... I think it's going to be available at the show, and if not, she'll have pre-sales, because then it'll be available the following day after our show. And all proceeds are going to go to the J.J. Watt donation thing. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, J.J. Watt put out... He's a player for the Houston Texans, and he put out a challenge to all of these people.
Just immediately, with the storm still going on.
And he kind of put out a challenge to fellow players and also celebrities and stuff. And he was asking for, I think, like $500,000.
It started off at $500,000.
And now we're somewhere in the like $15 million.
Yeah, it grew tremendously. Every time he'd hit another milestone, he'd increase it by $500,000. He just kept going up and up.
And it's not a Red Cross. It's not an administration fee fund or anything. It's going straight to him, and then he's giving it straight to the relief effort. Right. So, and this omnibus is going to go directly to his fund. So, look for that. We're also going to be working with some folks. We're a podcast. We're doing a horror convention. We're not a charity. We don't play in that world. We don't know how to do it, and there are other people that are better at it than we are.
Yeah, so we are going to use our platform to offer them a way to get their word out and just help our attendees, help with efforts to
absolutely
for relief.
So if you're interested in helping out, or you want to donate to somebody, we're going to start throwing up, you know, people that we know that were affected by, vendors of ours, friends of ours that were affected by this. We'll be posting stuff on our Facebook pages and in our other social medias, like our Instagrams and stuff. They're not affiliated with us. We're not saying, hey, so and so is a sponsor, and we don't get anything out of it. But if we know of somebody that needs help, we're gonna point you.
Yeah, we'll help them with the platform to get the word out.
Because Scott and I came out of this fine.
Very thankfully, too. A lot of folks are not fine.
Right.
Far from being fine, too.
And I was at my friend's house today. Just, you know, we had a good-sized, good crew of people in this house. Everybody working. And I even cut out a little bit early because I had other things I needed to get, you know, to attend to. But it is a miserable, soggy, stinky mess, and it's going to be for a long time.
It's far from over.
So anything that you guys can do, if you know, and if you think there's anything like, oh, well, they say that the donations are full, you know, anything that you can help with, any small little thing, whether it's $20 to a GoFundMe, whether it's dropping off, you know, a pack of cookies at a donation station, even just a kind word or anything that you can do, it helps. And there's going to be a lot of people needing a lot of help for a really long time, because even FEMA and all that stuff, politics aside, you understand FEMA is people, okay? They're people doing things with equipment and supplies and locations. they take time to do their thing. Things get take time to process through. So anything that you can do today to help somebody out. We had a bunch of cosplayers going up to the some of the shelters and just being characters and making children laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff. So anything that you can do, do it. And it's greatly appreciated. So with that, that's my rant on that. You got anything else?
No, I think we're good.
All right, guys. We'll be in touch soon. Keep it scary.
Later.
Negativity. You see in one-sided lane.